Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day that God has blessed us with, that we can gather together this morning and spend some time with one another praising our God and also spending some time being an encouragement to one another. I was talking to Steve before I said, I think the last time I was here, it was really, really cold. So it's nice to get to come down to Athens on a beautiful Sunday morning this time. I guess it was beautiful then too, just colder. But nonetheless, it's always good to be with y'all. I say that every time. I mean it every time. But always look forward to getting to come be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to stand before you this morning and preach to you a lesson from God's Word. You know, there are certain events that occur during everyone's life that may cause us to think very deeply about spiritual things. You know, just considering the events of the last few years, I would say that likely those occurrences have become more frequent for a lot of us over the last few years. I would think, if anything, of course, the last few years have shown us that this life is uncertain and it is fragile. And of course, that's something that the Bible has made very clear as well. For me, one of those moments I was mentioning, it happened back in August of 2020 when I received a phone call from my mom. Just a backstory before I tell you what I was about to tell you. Both of my grandparents struggled for many years with their health. My grandparents, I'm talking about my mom's parents, they struggled for several years. My grandmother was in the nursing home for years. My grandfather struggled as well for a long, long time. So I say that to say it was very normal for me to get a phone call from my mom, you know, about either one of my grandparents being sick. This particular time, it was my grandfather that was sick in the hospital. And normally that call, it would go something like this. Hey, I just want to let you know your papa, he came to the hospital last night. They think he's going to be here for, you know, a couple days or so, and then they'll get him back to the nursing home once he's better. But this call was different. This call was, your papa is very sick, and this time he's not going to make it. I remember in that conversation, we talked for a while, but I remember in that conversation, I asked my mom, I said, how long do they think that he has? The answer was hours. He was bad enough at this point, he wasn't able to talk to me anymore, but my mom was, she held the phone up to his ear so that I could talk to him for a little bit. I would have liked, thinking back, I would have liked some better prep on what I would say in those moments. You know, all I could hear as I talked to him was some really heavy breathing in the background. I'm pretty sure he could still hear us, but again, he couldn't respond or anything like that. After that call, I reflected on a lot of different things. However, what kept coming back to my mind was the question of what might be going through his mind, as he knew that his time was short. You know, I know that many of us have lost loved ones, and we probably, in those moments, we wondered the same thing. You know, I think perhaps we're concerned, you know, for our loved ones, for example. Are they okay? Are they happy? Are they scared? You know, we hope that they feel comfort there in their last moments. However, I think we also have these thoughts because we also realize that one day, that's going to be us. Our time is going to come. You know, it may be something for us that happens suddenly, but it may be like it was for my papa, where we feel it coming. The fact is that our time on this earth, it's limited. The reality is that there are going to be some things that we get to do and some things that we don't get to do. There's going to be sacrifices that we make in order to get to do some things. There's going to be things that we choose to neglect so that we can give time to other things. There's going to be life decisions that we all make that's going to cause us to miss out on some life experiences so that we get to experience others. Realizing that our time and our resources are limited. Passages I think of such as Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It reminds us of the importance of making the best use of the time that we have. So, understanding that, we understand we ought to give very wise consideration to different topics such as what are, you know, our priorities? How do we appropriately arrange our lives? You know, what is an appropriate, you know, thing to set a goal for in this life? So in our lesson today, I want to talk about some of those very familiar topics, but I want to come at it with a slightly different approach this morning. This lesson, I want to put you in that position of one whose time is short. I want you to imagine right now, like my papa was, you're on your deathbed, living is becoming difficult. Imagine the doctors are telling you, you have hours to live. What's going through your mind? You know, I think I imagine that one thing that we would all do if we were in that position is we'd, you know, reflect on our life. We would think about all the things that we've experienced, all those people that we love. You know, we would look out at things, hopefully, that are happy, because I think we can all think of things that, you know, ways that we've been blessed in this life. I know we can. But I think another natural part of reflecting on our life is to think about things we might regret. There are things that we might wish that we had done differently, and if we just had a little bit more time on earth, we would do those things differently so we wouldn't regret it. So in our lesson this morning, I want us to be asking the question, what will be your regrets? What will you wish you had done differently? What would you want to change? And then hopefully by us meditating on those things this morning, you know, if we were to think about it, if I were to die right now, what would be my regrets? With what time we have left, we can make whatever changes that we need to make so that when that time comes, we won't have those regrets anymore. I hope this lesson will be a benefit to you to think through some of these things. First regret that we might have as we may look back on our life is that we may regret who we could have told about the gospel, but didn't. Jesus told his disciples, Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Romans 10 and verse 10, Paul told the Romans, he says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I also think about Paul, how at different times he would ask those that he was writing to pray for him for opportunities that doors might be open, that he would have an opportunity to share the gospel with others. Colossians 4 verse 3 comes to mind. Thinking about that. I know I just did that rapid fire just now, but I bring up these passages to remind us of the fact that part of our mission here that's given to us by Christ is that we are to take whatever opportunities that we can to share the gospel with others. You know, it's not uncommon for big events to happen. And when a big event happens, we're so excited about it. What we want to do is we just want to run out and tell everybody about it. I think right now, what's the big thing right now? March Madness, maybe. I'm not as big into basketball as y'all. But that's what I hear everybody talking about. Everybody's excited about that. You know, when big moments occur, it's what everyone wants to talk about. Well, that being the case, the gospel or the good news, it tells about the greatest event in the history of mankind. The Son of God literally came down to this earth to live as a man. He lived a perfect life so that he could be a sacrifice for us. And he died so that you and I could have hope of eternal salvation. The gospel, it tells us about how we were lost eternally, but we can be forgiven of our sins. That story, it is greater than anything our team does in the big game. It's greater than anything that's happening in the White House. It's even bigger than something like we've been through the last few years, a worldwide pandemic. The gospel, it is the good news about something that is the most important piece of information that you could possibly share with someone. What do? We talk sports. We talk politics. We talk current events, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with talking about those things, but we have no problem sharing that kind of information, and yet we avoid sharing the gospel. Illustration that was shared with me many, many years ago when I was in college that I'll share with you this morning. I don't know if he came up with this or if it's something he borrowed from someone else like I'm doing, but imagine that you're in the afterlife, and you're in line on the day of judgment. I don't know what it's going to look like on the day of judgment beyond what the scriptures teach us, but I've always imagined that we would be in line waiting for our turn to be judged. So imagine you're there waiting to be judged. You've been a good Christian most of your life. You've always gone to church. You've been benevolent to the needy. You've done a lot of good things in your life. And then while you're waiting, you turn and you see a former coworker of yours. Someone you never invited to church. You turn and you see that relative that you never asked to study with. Then you turn and you see your friend from elementary school, someone that you've been friends with most of your life. You were really close friends. You watched ball games together. You went on trips together. He was the best man in your wedding. But the topic of religion, it just never really came up. You see that young man that checked you out in the grocery store every week. You never gave him a tract. You never invited him to the gospel meeting. You didn't take the opportunity when it was given to you. And desperately you're thinking to yourself, maybe someone talked to them. Maybe someone else invited them to church. Maybe someone gave them a Bible. But what if they didn't? What if you were the one that God put in their life to share with them the good news and you didn't confess him before others, as people of faith are called to do? If you were moments from death, who would you regret not having shared the gospel with? Who would you wish that you had asked to study with? Is there someone in particular that you're thinking of right now? Someone that you still have opportunity to talk to about the gospel? If you realize that there is someone that you need to tell about the gospel, don't let that next opportunity pass. Because if you do, you're going to regret it. Pray. Ask God for an opportunity. Ask God for the courage to talk to that person. And the thing is that you may build up the courage and you may talk to that person and they may reject it. But don't live to regret not having tried. Let's share the gospel with whoever we can so that this is not a regret that we have one day. Our second regret this morning, it might just be summed up under the heading of things I should have valued more. And I realize that that's pretty broad. And maybe there's different specific things that you'll think of as we go through this. You know, as we said in our introduction, a recognition of the temporary nature of life, it assumes that we also recognize that we're not going to get to invest as much time and effort and attention and resources into everything that we might like to get to. You know, we're going to make decisions, like we said, on what we sacrifice so that we can invest more in what we deem the most valuable. We're going to spend less time in one area so that we have more time for the things that we value. We're hopefully familiar with that concept. Jesus, you know, of course, preached about that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 in regards to talking about things that we value, or as he puts it in that passage, things that we treasure. You know, remember from that passage, we're warned not to value the things of the world like we do eternal and spiritual things, because the things of this world are temporary. Spiritual things, in contrast, are eternal. So to value the things of this world above eternal things that are found in Christ, that's to make a bad judgment regarding the true value of something. The truth is, as you look out in the world, there is a lot that this world can offer. Things that are enjoyable. Things that there's nothing wrong with us enjoying, let me add. At least some of those things. Some things we need to avoid. Maybe you like to travel, for example. That's something Karen and I are doing this week. It's spring break. It was mentioned several are traveling this morning. There's nothing wrong, you know, with traveling, assuming that, depending on where it is that you're going, what it is that you're doing when you get there. You know, traveling for me is one of those things. There is a spiritual benefit for that, because I look out sometimes and see some places I haven't seen, see parts of God's creation I haven't seen, and you're impressed by the power of God. I know you can share that experience as I do. Maybe you just have this hobby that you enjoy. You know, there's a lot of hobbies that are both, you know, fine for us to enjoy, good things for us to do. Maybe you're into sports. Maybe you're into music. Maybe you're into, you know, something like acting or something like that. Again, for the most part, these things are okay things for Christians to enjoy and take part in. But at the same time, we have to understand that all of those things I just mentioned at a minimum require time, but also, you know, probably some sort of monetary investment. And then there's some other opportunity cost that we likely give up so that we can enjoy in these things that we enjoy doing. So imagine you are moments from death. You look back and you consider those things that you really enjoyed in this life. And you reflect on those things that you gave a lot of time and money and effort and go down the line. Things that you gave a lot of resources to. Now, with eternity in view, which really we should always have eternity in view, but now that it feels really near, what might you have regrets about not valuing more. Again, Jesus taught spiritual things ought to be the things that we truly value. So if you were reflecting on the regrets that you have in this life, would you possibly reflect or regret valuing the things of this world over things regarding the Lord and His will? A few different examples. Would you regret spending so much time on your hobby that it cost you, you know, several opportunities to read through the Bible multiple times in your life? You know, how many of us have read a book, or if I was talking to myself, probably a movie would be a better example. How many of us have read a book or watched a movie through multiple times, and yet we've never read through the entire Old Testament one time? The Word of God is profitable for us. And yet we so easily probably pass it by in order to partake in things that we value more. Maybe you would regret the large sums of money that you spent on your hobby or following your sports team. And you think about it, you wish you had done more to support the preaching of the gospel. You wish that you had done more to help that needy brother or sister in Christ. Don't get me wrong, and don't make it sound like I'm saying something I'm not. There is nothing wrong with us using our money to some extent on things that we enjoy. So don't misunderstand me this morning, but here's a heart check. How many of us would not hesitate to spend a large sum of money on ourselves while at the same time avoiding using it to help others? Often it's where we spend our money beyond our normal or our typical needs that tells us really what we value the most. Would you regret focusing so much on work, so much on school? And before the kids get too excited about what I'm saying this morning, both of those things are important things that we need to give time to. But would you regret focusing so much on those things that you didn't give enough time and attention to your family? You didn't give enough time and attention to your brethren at church? You know, would we regret spending so much time out on the lake or playing games or watching that big game that we neglected to connect and be a spiritual influence on those that matter the most? Again, our children, our spouse, you know, our brethren at church. We could go down the line of those that are important. If any of the things that I've just mentioned this morning, if any of these things have caused you to look at your own life, I would urge you right now, make the change that you need to make. Don't live to regret valuing the things of this world so much that you fail to value the things that you really ought to be valuing. Got one more point that I want to make this morning before I show it to you. I want to give you a little background on this. Sometimes when I have an idea for a lesson, I'll run it by Karen. She's really good about, you know, if I put together a lesson, she'll go through and read my notes and give me some feedback, tell me where I've messed up. So I say that to say, if I've made several mistakes this morning, it's all Karen's fault. But, you know, I'm sure Aquila and Priscilla, you did that with Priscilla in the book of Acts as well. But I mentioned that not to, you know, pick at Karen, but to just say that this last regret, when I was talking to Karen about this lesson, this last regret is one that she suggested. And so I included it for you this morning. And this is a common struggle that I think many have, but it's also something that if we don't get control over it, we're going to regret it. This morning, I want you to imagine you're reflecting on your life and you're thinking about all the things that people will remember you for, only to realize that you lived your life caring more about what man thinks than what God thinks. I want you to imagine realizing that many of your accomplishments were things that you did in order to please man, but in doing so, it caused you to neglect doing those things that please God. Paul talked in Galatians about how there would be those that would teach things contrary to the gospel. And Paul made the point that in teaching the gospel, he was holding true to the gospel because he wasn't looking to impress man. He was seeking to please God. Galatians 1 and verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." I want you to notice that last statement I just read. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. If our main goal in this life is to seek to impress man, this is a contradiction to us being a servant of Christ. You know, one of the obvious ways, just thinking about how Paul uses it here, one of the obvious ways that we can demonstrate we care more about what man thinks than what God thinks is by sacrificing our adherence to the Word of God. You know, we're afraid that if we tell people the truth that we're going to upset our friends or our family. So what do? We sugarcoat the gospel so that everyone else will still like us. That's not pleasing to God. When Jesus was on earth, it talked about how many of the authorities, they believed in him. But it was because of the fear of what the Pharisees might think. They were afraid to act on it. They were afraid they might be kicked out of the synagogues, for example. The passage I'm thinking of, John 12 and verse 43, it says, "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." I want to ask us a question this morning. Do we sometimes fail to let our faith in God result in us living righteously and living the Christian life because we're afraid of what other people might think? You know, we're afraid that if we don't participate in certain things, if we don't talk a certain way, if we don't do those things that most of the people of the world are doing, they're going to look at us differently. We're going to be treated like an outcast. We're not going to get invited to all the parties. We're not going to maintain our status with these people that we seem to want to impress so badly. The thing is, the Bible teaches us quite clearly. I'm thinking of 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, where Peter teaches us we ought not be surprised when people of the world are surprised when we don't live immorally as they do. I don't know how many times I hear people that are needing to make a change in their life, and they'll tell me, "I need to make a change to be more pleasing to God." They know they need to make a change, but there's not a something. Sometimes it's a something. It's not a something holding them back. It's a someone that's holding them back. I'm afraid of what my parents might think. They'll never talk to me again, probably. I'm afraid of what my friends might think. They're not going to think I'm fun anymore. What will my boss, what will my coworkers, what will my teammates, what will the other kids at school, what will they think of me? This morning, I want you to humble yourself right now. I want you to reflect on this question. Why do we care so much about what the people of this world think about us when their approval, it is temporary? But God's approval, it impacts our eternity. So let's recap what we just said. Man's approval, it will only make a difference to us in this life. And this life is short. But pleasing God is going to impact where we spend eternity. What are you keeping yourself from doing because you're more afraid about what man thinks than what God thinks? For right now, if you were in that position, if you were moments from death and you were thinking about the way that you lived your life, what thing would you think about and say to yourself, "I cared more about what man thinks than what God thinks"? What might you wish you had changed to be more pleasing to God? And whatever that is, while you are still here, while you still have time, you can make that change so that as you reflect on your life later, you won't have those regrets. As we conclude our lesson this morning, I hope we can take a hard, long look at ourselves. Don't wait for the end of your life to be near, because the reality is that we don't ever know really when that will be. Don't wait until you've grown older. Don't wait until you find out you're sick. Don't wait until you're in that terrible accident, because life is short and life is uncertain. And we need to be thinking about what we're doing with the time that we have and do whatever we can not to have those regrets in regards to how we serve the Lord. Is there someone that you would regret not having told about the gospel, someone that you can still tell? Purpose in your heart that you're going to change that. Pray about it. Prepare yourself and go tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Are there things that you need to value a little or maybe a lot less so that you can properly value the spiritual and the eternal blessings that are found in Christ? If so, make that sacrifice. Give up whatever it is that's preventing you from making God the priority in your life. And then finally, as we just talked about, are there things that you're doing or things maybe that you're not doing because you care more about what man thinks than what God thinks? I would remind you, man can't forgive your sins. But God can forgive you, and He wants to forgive you. And His forgiveness is what we need to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Before we close, I want to talk to those of you here this morning that may not be a Christian. And if that's you this morning, I'm here to tell you this morning, there is one glaring thing that you are going to regret when you reach the end of this life if you don't make a change. If you've not put on Christ, if you have not submitted to His will, you're going to look back at your life and realize you have missed big. You have missed out on having a relationship with our God, and you have missed out on heaven. Why not change that? God wants us to put our trust in Him. He wants us to repent of our sins. As we talked about this morning, He wants us to be willing to confess Him before others. And He asks for us to be baptized in the name of His Son for the forgiveness of our sins and submit to His will. If you've not yet done that, change that. Because if you don't, it will be your biggest regret. Let's be thinking about these things as we stand and as we sing.